Again, it's good to see everybody here today. Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I would like to start this message by reading to us from Luke 24 again. This is Luke's account from his gospel. I'm reading verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. When they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, they entered, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. As the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. They returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11, the disciples, and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, and also the other women with them, and they were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. He went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. This is God's word. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have an account of what happened. And I pray that you would help me share your truth in a way that enlightens our hearts and eyes, that puts faith in our heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you not only rose from the dead, you want to put new life in us as well. And I pray that you would do that through me this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Jesus rose from the dead. I used to have a friend who worked up at the State House. She's no longer a representative there. And when we would get together, sometimes we'd have prayer with her, praying for the government. And she'd look at us all and she'd say, "You know, we believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead." Not many people up here believe that. So yeah, you're in a minority, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about rising from the dead. Why is the resurrection of Jesus important? Well, one, this is the first point on your outline, it proves that he's the Son of God, that he died for our sins. It proves he conquered death. That's pretty good, isn't it? It proves that the good news of Jesus is real. It's real for you. It's real for me. That if you believe in Jesus, you can conquer death. I mean, it's one thing for Jesus to rise from the dead, but I'm still going to die, right? I'm going to die. And so when I die, is that it? I'm dead. It's all over. Or am I going to die and face judgment because of all the things I've done wrong? Or am I going to die and have life with Jesus in heaven? And so the reason we're so happy today is we believe we're forgiven and we will have life with Jesus in heaven. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, it's the third scripture on your outline, third scripture down. Could we read this together, please? "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." So this is Peter summarizing the gospel, summarizing what we're all about today. Jesus was righteous. Who's the unrighteous? Us, okay? And by his death, he brought us to God. And his body died, but what? He's made alive again. How? By the Spirit of God. And so my message today is called Made Alive in the Spirit. That what happened to Jesus Christ is meant to happen to you and me. Do you believe that? We could have said amen. Okay, thank you. Jesus experienced our death so that we can experience his life. That's your next fill-in. So he died, so he takes our death. In exchange, we get life. Okay, Jesus is punished. I'm forgiven. Jesus is beaten and wounded on the cross. I'm healed. The Father turned his face away from Jesus and rejected him. He turns his face towards me and accepts me. It's a great exchange. That's what the cross is all about. Christ died for us. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. But the Lord has caused the guilt and iniquity of us all to fall on him. That is good news. How many of you, when you were a kid, did something wrong, like you broke something that belonged to somebody else? Okay, and then you're all worried about it because, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to get in trouble, and then I'm going to have to pay and get it fixed, and I don't have enough money. So I was in that situation. I hit a baseball and put this huge dent in the aluminum siding of the lady next door to where we were playing. And I dreaded going home to tell my parents. The lady came out. She was actually very nice at the time. You know what? My dad just paid for the whole thing. I was relieved. And the lady didn't yell at me, and she didn't chew me out. That's kind of a small way what happens with the gospel. It's like, instead of getting yelled at, instead of having to pay it all, Jesus paid it. It's wonderful. Praise God. So if we want to enjoy this, Christ also suffered for our sins. We have to deal with the word sin. Is the word sin popular today? No, it's entirely unpopular, right? It's like you feel good about you, you be you, there's no right and wrong, right? Just fine, just be you, and like everything will be great. And so that hinders people from admitting that they have sin. Let me ask you a question. If you do something wrong, shouldn't you feel badly about it? Yeah, right, because then if I feel badly about it, maybe I'll go and apologize to the person that I hurt. Or if I feel badly about it, maybe I'll actually ask God to forgive me. If I never feel badly about myself, that's called not having a conscience. That's not a good thing to have. What's probably the most famous hymn in the Christian church? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What does the word wretch mean? I looked it up in the dictionary. It's not a word we use much. A miserable, unhappy person, a base, despicable, or vile person. Almost no one in America uses this word. Okay? They certainly don't want to speak of themselves. It would be wrong to do so. That's kind of our mindset. So that changes the song to this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wonderful person like me. I never do anything wrong, and Jesus loves me just the way I am. No, that's not the song. Now, admittedly, the guy who wrote the song was a slave trader, so he oversaw wickedness beyond what most of us have done. People died on slave ships. They just threw him overboard. So he really sensed he was a wretch. But we sing it because in our own ways we realize I'm a bad person too. Even though you say, Dave, you're a nice guy, I know deep down I'm capable of doing terrible things. And God wants us to admit that. We have to be able to admit that if we want to be forgiven and changed. So our current mindset in America makes me think of the story Jesus told about two men who went into the temple. One was a very upstanding religious man, very respectable. The other was a tax collector. You know, he cheated people out of money. So the Pharisee, the upstanding man, prayed something like this. God, I thank you, I'm not like other people. I'm not an adulterer. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I'm not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I tithe my money. I give a tenth of my money to you. And then the tax collector, Jesus said, was ashamed of himself. So he was in God's presence. He kept his head down, and he just beat his chest and said, God, could you please be merciful to me, a sinner? So which man did Jesus say God was pleased with? Yeah, the second guy, right? He said, this man went home right with God. And the first guy, the Mr. Wonderful, me, was what? He was proud. So that's number three. Only seeing yourself as wonderful all the time means you're actually proud. The gospel's good news when you realize you're in trouble. The next point, grace is only amazing when you see yourself as lost, blind, and wretched. Then it's amazing. God could forgive somebody like me? Yeah, he can do that. He wants to do that. That's why it's amazing. Hallelujah. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So he was raised from the dead. He's made alive in the spirit. He wants to do that for us. Let's imagine someone rising from the dead. How many of you know somebody who rose from the dead? Nobody. Well, unless you call Jesus, right? That doesn't count. Yeah. People don't rise from the dead. My younger brother died prematurely when he was about 37 years old. He had a grand mal seizure, died in his sleep. My parents were devastated. Parents don't expect their children to die before they do. Imagine if the third day after the funeral, my mom came to our family and said, hey, guess what, everybody? I saw Billy. He's alive. What would we say? Oh, Mom, we love you. Yeah, we miss Billy too. But we just have to face it. He's gone. She's like, no, he's really alive. It's okay, Mom. So that's the women coming to the apostles. It's like, yeah, lady, yeah, I know, Jesus. Oh, you think he's alive? Poor, overly emotional women, right? The resurrection is nonsense, okay? That's number five. The idea that someone rose from the dead, it is nonsense. It's a fairy tale. People don't come back from the dead unless they're the Son of God. Unless there's someone who predicted, you know what's going to happen to me, guys? Let me tell you, I'm going to be handed over to the Romans. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. But the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. And the disciples are nodding, and it's going right over their head. They didn't remember it. They didn't really believe it at the time. They're kind of a lot like you and me, right? You know, we don't get it. But it happened. Do you remember Thomas? Thomas said, I won't believe he's alive unless I can put my finger in the nail holes. And it says 8 days later, all the disciples are together. Jesus appears. He goes, hi, Thomas. Put your finger in the hole. Right? That's what he did. Jesus convinced Thomas. Jesus wants to convince you and me, one, that he rose from the dead, and two, that he wants to put that resurrection life into you. So some of us, we can kind of believe Jesus rose from the dead. We maybe even ask him to forgive us, but we really have trouble believing that kind of power can be at work in our lives. So I appreciated Linus sharing earlier about, you know, who rolls away this big stone. And there's stones in our lives that we feel like, I can't budge. I can't change. This is the way I am. We feel hopeless. And Jesus comes along and says, no, I can budge it. In fact, I can move it. I can change you. That's wonderful. One of the last things that Jesus said was, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wow, what a promise. Let's look at Peter for a minute. Peter's probably the most famous disciple, right? Peter was a kind of a proud guy. He bragged to Jesus. Jesus said, you're all going to be scattered. He goes, no, Lord, even if everybody else leaves you, I would never deny you. Jesus says, oh, yeah, you're going to deny me. And so he gets arrested. Peter follows behind. He's in the house of the high priest. He's in the courtyard. You can actually see from the courtyard into the house where Jesus is, and a slave girl comes up to him. So here's Peter, tough guy, fisherman. Slave girl, we don't know, she's 10 years old, 14 years old. She goes, oh, you're one of them, aren't you? I saw you with Jesus. What'd Peter say? I don't know the man. What are you talking about? He's afraid of this little girl. Two other people ask the same question. You're a Galilean, your accent gives you away. Because I don't know the man. And Luke's gospel, get this, says Jesus turned and looked Peter in the eyes. Can you imagine? And Peter ran away weeping. Can God use somebody like that? Cowardly, brags. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2. This is on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to read a few verses for you. This is Peter preaching. Okay, so now he's afraid of the slave girl. He can't tell anybody about Jesus. He doesn't want to be associated. He's scared. The Holy Spirit comes down on 120 of the followers of Jesus. They're praising God. They're speaking in other languages. People from other countries actually recognize their language among the disciples. They're like, what is going on? So Peter jumps up. He says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, God knew about it, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. He goes on to say, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we're all witnesses. We saw the man. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out what you see and hear. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Wow, what happened to Peter? So what happened to him? The power of the Spirit, right? Okay, let's go to your outline. Make sure you're getting this. Number six, Jesus wants to convince you that he is what? Alive, and he wants to make you alive. There you go. How did Peter change? He received the power of the Spirit. What if you're not a proud person? What if you're the kind of person that you're like, Dave, I feel like a wretch. I feel like a loser. I feel like I can't change. And you're just down on yourself. That's the next point. If you're down on yourself, is there hope for you? Yes. What? The Spirit gives life. See, what Jesus is trying to communicate is you need something outside of yourself to help you. You need something supernatural, power from God, power from heaven. And so Jesus says a lot of hard things because he's trying to get us to be humble. Because once we're humble, God can help us. But as long as you think you can do it on your own, God can't help you. And that can happen to us sometimes, even as Christians. In certain parts of our lives, we're just still trying to do things in our own strength. And that's why we get frustrated. Look with me, please, on your outline. Romans 8, 9, and then Romans 8, 11. This is Paul writing, okay? He's talking about the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is what raised Jesus from the dead. He says this, remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Like, wow. That seems kind of like a heavy. Think of this at the Last Supper. Okay, we celebrated this several nights ago. We had a great meeting with seven churches, 200 or 300 people, took communion together. It was powerful. Jesus takes off his outer clothes, puts on a towel, and starts washing the disciples' feet. They're like, ah, what are you doing? God, Lord, you can't wash our feet. So Peter's like, Jesus, you will never wash my feet. Don't you love Peter? You know, he's just like so dogmatic and like so out there. And what did Jesus say to him? If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Or you don't belong with me if you don't let me wash you. Okay, that's what Paul is saying. When you put your faith in Jesus, you invite him into your life, his Spirit comes to live within you. And then you belong to him. That's wonderful. When you ask Jesus to forgive you, you get washed and you belong to him. That's a great thing. And that's why when you know that in your heart, when you know you're forgiven, you belong to God. It's exciting. It's the best thing that can happen. Then he goes on to say, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, what happens? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. What a wonderful promise. And my goal today is to get you to believe that. That promise is for you. If you're a member of Abundant Grace Church, the promise is for you. If you're a guest here today, the promise is for you. It's a promise from Jesus. So you could feel wretched and down and like you're a loser, you're a hopeless case. You're not. I'm here to say Jesus is more than able and he wants to free you. So we either believe in Jesus and we go to him and allow him to wash us, then we become part of his family, we belong to him, or what's the alternative? You're left to yourself. Okay, you got to do it all on your own. And so we live in a nation where people are all trying to do it on their own. They come up with their own truth, come up with their own reason for living, moral relativity. So everybody has to figure everything out for themselves. Everybody's like a little god. And we're messed up. There's a record number of people taking antidepressants. There's a record number of people committing suicide. Why? Because there's this enormous pressure we put on ourselves that God doesn't want us to have on us. Jesus wants to take those burdens off you. So did you get number 9? We either allow Jesus to what? Wash us, or we're left to ourselves. So ask yourself this question. Am I alive in the Spirit? I can't answer that for you. But if you're not sure, then you should talk to God today. This is a perfect time to address that. There's a scripture from the Psalms that's down at the bottom. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right. So if I asked you, what's one of the qualities of honey, what would you say? It's sweet. How many of you have tasted honey? All right. How many of you have never tasted honey? All right. Everybody's tasted honey. So you know it's sweet because you've tasted it. How many of you have heard that Ingrid Hill makes great apple pie? Okay. Well, she does. All right. It's when we got married, I said, Ingrid, I don't want you to feel any pressure to be like my mom. Okay. Just be you. But if you could learn how to make her apple pie, I would be so happy. So she did. And it's delicious. All right? How many of you have never tasted Ingrid's apple pie? Okay? So you don't really know if it's delicious or not. You've heard it is. You probably believe me. But you don't know because you haven't tasted it. You can taste God. You can taste forgiveness. You can taste having burdens lifted out of your life. You can taste the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You can taste it. And when you taste it, your life changes. Praise God. All right. I've got 2 stories to close out. We can get the worship team back up here. First is a friend of mine. Okay, number 10. Let me make sure I get these last 2. Number 10, you can believe in God but never have tasted his new life. And the last point is you must want this and ask for it. So I'm hoping you'll ask today. That's my big goal. So a friend of mine, Randy, lived down the street from me, worked on roofs. He fell off a 50-foot roof, shattered his foot and ankle, pieces of bone like left his body. They put a plate in his foot. They put pins and screws in it. He's the kind of guy who went back to work in a few months, all right? He came to our office. My son David was there. He came to us. Everything was going wrong in his life. So we're praying for him, and we're praying for this and that. And then he goes, oh, by the way, my foot turned black 2 years ago after the accident. The doctors say they want to amputate it. And I'm like, well, how is he going to take care of his family if they amputate his foot? So we are literally crying out to God. You know what scripture came to my mind? If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he'll give life to your mortal body. So we just started crying out, Lord, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, give Randy new life in his foot. Do something supernatural. God, we need you. Father, help us. We're crying out to God. Randy comes to me 2 weeks later, goes, I got to show you something. Takes the boot. He had like a plastic boot that he was always in for like 2 years. Takes that off. Takes his sock off. His hand is as white. His foot, excuse me, is as white as my hand. Tears are running down his face. He said, when you and David were praying for me, I felt this warmth come down into my leg, and that plate in my foot got so hot it felt like it was going to burn my foot. That's what he told me. God did that because we asked. Okay, here's a second story. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 14 years old. I grew up going to church. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. I had never tasted Jesus and his new life. And so a pastor said, you have to invite Jesus into your life. It just doesn't happen automatically. It's not enough to just kind of believe he's out there. You have to say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm like, okay. No one ever told me I needed to do that. But I went forward at that service. I said, Jesus, please come into every room of my life. And I knew something happened. It was very powerful. Kids that were there, people were crying. It was a very powerful time. Well, then, about 4 years later, I go to college. I come home at Christmas, and I'm feeling like I didn't really put Jesus first. And I'm disappointed in myself. And I'm at a service where we're worshiping and praying. So I'm praying to God, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm disappointed in myself. And I realize I have these fears. Have you ever had the fear, what might God ask me to do if I surrender to him? Okay, anybody else ever been scared by that? All right, I was scared. And I knew I shouldn't be afraid, but I didn't know what to do. And so I said, Lord, I meant it when I invited you into my life. Just help me. I don't know how to get free from these fears. Something happened to me. It's very hard for me even to explain it. Something came over me. And I'm like, oh, man, what's happening? And there's a part of me that's kind of like nervous, but there's another part of me that's like, I know this is the Lord. And I went back to school. I joined this fellowship, this church of Christians who are like our church. Like they really believed what the Bible said and they believed in the Holy Spirit. And I read where it said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I was like, oh, that's what happened to me. Jesus can do it even when you don't know what's going on. I share that to encourage you today to ask. So, yeah, Steph, if you can play for us. I'm going to pray for a minute, and I'm going to encourage you, if you've never asked Jesus to wash you from your sins, ask him today. He'll forgive you if you ask him, and you mean it. If you feel like, Dave, there's a part of me that's dead. I just feel like I can't change, or I need refreshment. I need life. Let's ask Jesus to make us alive in his spirit. I prayed that sincere prayer as 18 years old. God answered me. I'm so grateful. I tasted the Lord's goodness that day. So I want you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray for a minute. Then we're going to have the prayer team is going to come up too. We have people who would like to pray with you today. But just take a minute right now. Pray on your own. Father, I just lift up myself and all my friends here today. The good news of Jesus being raised from the dead. His body died, but you made him alive by the Spirit. And that same Spirit lives in us, or can live in us if we ask him to. Father, give my friends grace to want this new life and to ask for it. Just talk to God. Just be honest with him. Tell him, Lord, wash me from my sins. I say, Lord, make alive what's dead in me. you'd like Jesus to touch you right now, to cleanse you, or to empower you by His Spirit, just lift your hands. I'm going to pray over you. Father, I pray for everyone here, Lord, who's lifting their hands to You, lifting their hearts to You. Touch them, please. Holy Spirit, convince us that Jesus paid it all, that we can be forgiven. Father, where there's doubt and I just feel like I can't change, Father, we rebuke that and pray that You would impart faith and hope today by Your Holy Spirit to everyone who's looking for it. Jesus said, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to Me. Thank You, Lord. Praise You. We thank You for Your loving kindness, Your goodness. We want to taste it more and more. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, why don't we have the prayer team come up? Please stand. We're going to sing a closing song. If you would like prayer, it can really help to let other people pray with you. It's wonderful. So I encourage you to do that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.